Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, how you doing? Hello to everybody who's listening to the podcast. Introducing you, it's another week and another show, and I'm really, really excited and pleased to be bringing it to you. Before I go into who we've got on this week, just wanted to say big thank you to everyone that listened and downloaded last week's show with Marcus Borden. It was so well received. I got so many lovely comments and feedback from the show. People saying how much they loved Marcus for opening up and talking. I just wanted to say how important that is, because we if you haven't listened to it, go and listen to it, because it is really, really lovely. It's a guy who cooks barbecue food, and he's a geologist, and he opens up about something quite big and personal in his life, and something that is quite hard, I guess, for a man to do. Not enough men talk about things in their life to the degree that Marcus did, and that's been getting a lot of love. People really kind of were wowed by it, and I certainly was recording it. It was the first one that I ever recorded, so I think we did a good job, and people agreed and said how lovely it was, and important as well. I've spoken with people saying that they thought it was really touching and emotional, but mostly important that a man, and he's definitely in every sense of the word what you would say the average man, and the average man doesn't tend to open up and talk about their feelings and emotions or big things that happened in their life. And he did. And it was really, really lovely. And I thank him enormously for doing so. I really enjoyed it. I really hope everybody listening did. And it maybe went some way to help out. I think we spoke about kind of getting help and counselling, which is something that I think is really important. Men don't tend to open up, do they? And I think it was nice that he did. So thanks so much for that, Marcus. And yeah, keep the comments and messages flowing. I'm passing them on to Marcus, and he's really enjoying that, and knowing that people were happy and grateful that he did kind of speak about what he spoke about. So go and check that out. You can get in touch with me on my website, thatmrchristopher.com, or send me an email at podcast@thatmrchristopher.com. There's also on the website all my social media links, things like Twitter, @thatmrchrist. Get a conversation going, and let me know what you thought about it. Go on and have a listen and let me know. But this week we've got a really cool girl on the show. Her name's Sammy, and we did this episode, and I've called it More to Life Than Concrete and Cars, because that's something that she said, and I thought it was really, really poetic. I write a bit of sort of poetry and do some spoken word stuff, and what she said was in the episode was really poetic, and I think it's true that there is more to life than concrete and cars. I think that we sort of get too involved in the material world and things that are going on in our lives as we speak, and don't really talk about or think, I think is probably more appropriate, is to say we don't really think about other things so much. And Sammy's a big thinker. She's very in touch with the spirituality side of things. We don't agree on everything, as you'll hear, but it was really interesting to have that conversation and see, you know, what she had learned on her travels. We knew each other once upon a time about 7 or 8 years ago. We used to work with each other. We had a few drinks and we'd bumped into each other at work. She was in a sort of different area of the business than I was. So we were very aware of each other. We'd had a few drinks and stuff after work, but that was about it really. So I didn't know too much about her. She might as well have been a stranger to me then, but even now, 8 years on, there's a lot that's kind of gone on in her life. She's gone on a bit of a journey. She's completely changed as a person as a result of that journey. And we spoke about that. We spoke about her travels to India and America. And it was just really, really interesting. We had a huge amount of fun doing it, a bit of a giggle. We blasted through over an hour really, really quickly and decided that a few days later we'd hook up again and she'd do another hour for us on different subjects. So next week's show will be her talking all about her rape and her experience working on the cannabis plantations and farms in California. So it's, if you like this episode, obviously check out next week's. If you don't really like this week's episodes, then still check out next week's, because she talks about some completely different things and it's really, really fun. So definitely recommend going and checking out both of them, having a little listen and letting me know what you think. So I won't get on too much more about it, but here's the episode. I'll catch you after the music. At the end of the episode, so stick around and we'll have a chat. So thanks very much, speak to you soon.
I'm introducing you to normal people, different lives. Husbands, brothers, sisters, wives, might have a laugh, might have a cry. So if you've got the time, just sit back and relax. We're gonna have a little chat and you don't have to answer back.
I'm going to press record. There you go. We're recording. And you're Sammy. Sammy and Laidlaw, isn't it?
It is a double barrel name.
Yeah. Although you on Facebook, you're Sammy Shanty. What's that?
Well, they got on at me about undercover hippie, so I had to change my name.
Right. Okay. And it was something different when you was in India, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Sammy Shakti Shanti.
What's Shakti Shanti? I've no idea. I didn't Google it either. So I generally have no idea what that is.
It's part of the energy groups with India. So you've got I've done a Siddha Kundalini healing workshop, and the Kundalini energy is the base energy that comes up from the ground that keeps us rooted. And then Shakti is the enlightenment energy that comes through the crown of the head, and then it meets in the middle. So it's right. Just about the balance. And Shanti Shanti, it's like, be calm, just chill, Shanti Shanti. It was a little nickname they gave me in Thailand as well. I'd say I'm pretty chilled, but I think I'm a bit fiery sometimes, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was an alliteration. Okay. Sammy Shanti Shakti.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just connected with what I was doing and the energy. It was really nice. It was done the old crystal healing.
Yeah.
A lot of meditations. It was like all natural. Felt like I was tripping on LSD in a meditation. It was really amazing. It was, that was part of my travels in India.
Yeah.
Birth of spirituality.
Awesome. So, yeah, I mean, we met, what did we just work it out as? 8, 9 years ago?
Yeah.
9 years ago, and then sort of knew you for best part of about 18 months. You was working, yeah, doing reception and club promotions for nightclubs in Southend.
Back in the heyday.
I was working in the restaurant of one of the clubs, and yeah, my chef days, your days promoting. But we've been Facebook friends since then, but not really spoke too much, mostly because you've been off on jaunts all around the world. So We'll probably go back to our days knowing each other. But yeah, go on, tell us about your travel, seeing as that's how you've sort of opened with your spirituality. Obviously, you were one type of person.
Yeah.
I think doing the clubs and stuff like that, there was a lot of... you looked completely different. You had straight hair, long hair, sometimes brown, sometimes kind of dark, deep red.
Black, extensions, eyelashes, lip injections, nails, heels, all of that.
And now is it... I mean, things like you would dress up almost a bit like Betty Boop.
I remember that. I had a Betty Boop car, I did go, well, I've been for a burlesque stage. I liked all of the corsets and the red lipstick.
So is it fair to say image was quite an important thing back in those days?
Yeah, we all like to feel good and look good. They go hand in hand.
Is that the same sort of way that you look at things now? Because you look different.
I don't wear hardly any makeup. That's because my income since coming back hasn't afforded me to go and buy animal-friendly cosmetics. I'm sure I've got a few things lurking around that are tested on animals, but I don't actually use that many products now. I might use a bit of soap in the shower. I use a fluoride-free, natural-based toothpaste. I mean, I did maintain my electric toothbrush, though. This is like one up to technology, you know. Even when I was living in a tent for like 2 months, I maintained my electric toothbrush, and I'm proud of that. That's a feat on travels.
That is quite impressive, because they're not even standard plugs.
I know. Most people, can you charge our phone? It's like, yeah, can I charge my toothbrush, please? So, I take the head off, though, because, you know, you don't want to leave you. People can do things to your toothbrush, can't they?
I'd like to think not. I'd like to think that people would maliciously attack the end of your toothbrush.
I just think it gets knocked over on the floor or behind the bar or something, you know, all the dust particles and dead skin cells around. Thinking, I'd rather it in my bag tucked away, thank you.
Yeah, excellent. So, yeah, you obviously people... We'll probably do a photo for the artwork on the podcast of the two of us, so they can see you now. And I'll probably, if you're all right with it, take a picture of 2008 picture.
Oh gosh, but, yeah.
So there was a transformation. I would say, is it fair to say you're kind of a hippie?
I think the criteria quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously, I have no idea what the etiquette is in most situations in life, stereotyping or pigeonholing people as to what they are and what they are not. But yeah, you sort of identify with a hippie lifestyle, and certainly didn't, I don't believe, when we knew each other almost 10 years ago. So
I wasn't awake then.
Yeah.
I had to get that in. It's cheap. Cheap and cheesy. I don't like cheese. For the record.
So you wasn't awake then, but yeah, you weren't born in a cave. You weren't. You know, you've got dreadlocks now, which look great. I really do like them.
Thank you.
They've got lots of jewellery and nice kind of pretty things in them, and they look cool. And it's definitely...
Essex does hippie, I was told. Most people have Essex bits of does. Wood and yeah, cord yeah, in, yeah. And I've just got bits of shiny bling in there.
Yeah.
Take the girl out of Essex, eh?
Awesome. So what was the reason for that change, or how did that change happen?
Well, I think the catalyst of change was my stepmum died really suddenly at 39, a sudden adult death syndrome. And
what's that?
It's like cot death, but in adults, you know, so you just die.
Shit.
So there was never a label back in, you know, medieval times. You just would have died of natural causes.
I've never heard of that.
No, really, yeah. Sudden adult death syndrome. You can be tested because her immediate siblings went and was tested to see if they, I don't know, had the gene that could potentially cause that. So, yeah, it's very sad. And I was, you know, working the club. I was actually working two or three jobs, actually, about 7 days a week for about a year or so. I had a period of time off of work for the grief, and I was supporting my dad strongly. I just didn't want to leave his side, you know. The worst thing that could possibly happen to you in the middle of the night happens. It was just horrendous. And then I got a job in a YMCA hostel. So I was working with young homeless people. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I was still going into work, my two pairs of false eyelashes on, I was wearing heels every day. I'd had body dysmorphia, so I'd had my boobs done when I was 22, I think, which would have been about the, shortly after we knew each other.
I remember when you got it done. When we met, you hadn't, and before I'd left that kind of job. You'd had it done.
So it's a big transition around that time. So
what was the reason for that then? That was
I'd never liked my body particularly growing up. No, I didn't like it.
That's mad because you were
just
not saying that you're not now. you were hot. You were.
You were
in club promotions, and that tends to
there's a certain
they tend to hire the people that are easy on the eye, and you certainly was, but you wasn't happy.
I was actually just coming out of a really bad relationship at the time, and my weight was massively below what it should have been. I was wearing a size 8 to 10, and you know, naturally I am about a 12. But I was in a really abusive relationship, and you know, there was sort of physical, emotional, and I was abusing laxatives as well. So you know, that was a really interesting time. And
so that was the whole time we were sort of working
out of
together.
That, yeah, he ended up going to prison. Thankfully, not anything to do with anything that happened with me. Although I did try and report the domestic abuse, and I was told it was a revenge reporting, so it wouldn't be taken seriously. But they wanted to know about the drug aspect of his life. But obviously, once I called down, I was like, well, I'm certainly not going to, you know, the stigma to grass in. But at the end of the day, if you want to put someone in prison for domestic violence opposed to selling some drugs, you know, I'm all for that.
It's a different...
big difference. And don't say, no, we're not taking that seriously, but please do tell us about what he's dealing. Terrible, but he was known to the police, and you know, that had a big change, you know, because my body, I was feeling more confident in some ways, but then more insecure in other ways. So yeah, the breast augmentation, you know, it's something I didn't look into or research as much as I should have done, so I did have regrets with that. But at the end of the day, everything does happen for a reason. I firmly believe that. And yeah, I am happier with my boobs more than before I had the operation. So that's fine. But yeah, I have my eyes done as well. I had laser eye surgery.
Right.
So I think it was 10% off or something because it was the same company, sister company. Bloody hell, you know what I mean?
Excellent.
But that's really good. I'd recommend laser eye surgery to anyone who's able, who reaches the criteria for it. I think you need to have stable eyesight.
Yeah, my sister had it done and said it was
for a year.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So cosmetic surgery, technology, you know, because I believe classed as cosmetic, but it stops you from needing glasses or contact lenses for a period of time.
Yeah, I think probably most people would say, so I can see better. Well, yeah, but glasses kind of do that. I think my sister was always wearing glasses and her eyesight was bad, but probably not. Obviously, she got it done. Sometimes people are like, your eyesight's too bad, you can't have
absolutely.
I think when she got it done, she was like, okay, this is amazing, this is better than
instant the next day.
This was like better than what glasses
40,
were doing
40. So. NASA approved technology, literally.
Excellent. So but a lot of people don't get it done for the I want to see better. A lot of people will be like, I don't want to wear glasses.
Yeah.
And contacts irritate my eyes.
They are.
I can't
a
leave
nuisance.
Them in all the time. So, yeah, I think.
Vanity.
And yeah, you could say. Yeah.
Which is sort of the core
it's
of
It's
of
on
the
that
problem.
Line, isn't it? It's on that line.
Yeah. You know, it's quality of life as well, I think. Because imagine you're in an emergency situation, or if we have a zombie apocalypse and you smash your glasses, or you can't go and raid a house.
You're okay, you can run off now.
And I'm sorted, see you later. But I'd be the one helping, don't get me wrong, I'd be letting all the dogs and animals out of the cages. Run free, quick, don't be zombie meat.
Would they not be better in a cage?
Never you're going to get me to say animals are better in a cage.
You've just let them out into a horde of zombies, you cruel bitch.
I do often think about zombie apocalypses because it'd be so cool to be equipped. Just a Bulwood Hall prison, I'd love to own that. I'd just set it up like a zombie outbreak.
You watch too much Walking Dead.
The business ideas I've got.
Do you
got,
watch
Michael,
Walking Dead?
I haven't seen them for a couple of years. It was the last thing I was watching, actually, in Game of Thrones.
Right.
Because I haven't watched television properly for... That's probably another tick list of hippie things, isn't it? Not liking television.
Yeah.
I sat down at my mum's and had some dinner, and she had the TV on. And it was, there was cheese on there and cream, and it was like a leather, all the adverts, you know, and it was like a leather phone case and just all this stuff that was so unnecessary and just didn't, I just found it insulting. I found the television insulting. I was like, this is not what I want to be looking and watching and receiving.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad shit on there. I mean, I'm all up for TV programmes and dramas and stuff like that, but I can't watch the news or, you know.
No, it's very draining, the news,
it can
isn't
be
it?
A bit...
And it's not a true reflection, is it? I've wished more documentaries. I'd like to get a GoPro and do some like serious stuff.
Well, that's what this is all about, is talking to people and talking to, say, what's your view on worlds and, and life and stuff like that.
So, different perspective, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think going back onto the cosmetic surgery thing, I think there's a stereotype or a perception that people that get cosmetic surgery, for the most part, do it because they want to look better.
Mm-hmm.
And where that's true, I think a lot of people will say, don't understand, maybe it's because people aren't happy, and I think then therefore it could be almost classed as like a mental health issue. If you're not happy with who
body
you are,
dysmorphia,
you know,
why
and
do you
want
to go for surgery?
Yeah, they just think, I want bigger tits to attract guys, or so that I look better for my job or something like that,
be fulfilled,
you know. Yeah, to enhance something that you already are happy with. But I think a lot of people are probably not happy, and that's why they get the enhancement. I don't think that's
the beauty industry. What are all the images that we're seeing that are portrayed to us as true beauty, or you've got to look like this to be accepted, or to be a normal person, you know? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of that on TV.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
Then you've got the Kardashians brandishing around.
I can't be
dealing
with them.
All right, they've done a bit of a thing.
I'd happy
big,
see
big
them
butts.
Wiped out in a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. It's very sad. I mean, and what they've done to their bodies, you know, a few years down the line, it's all the injections and the implants and that. You know, you're stretching your skin. Like, but if you have... But freedom of choice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you're fully informed, like with eating meat or consuming animal products, the information is there, but sometimes we choose to ignore it. And ignorance, you know, is a blissful little bubble.
Yep, absolutely.
So,
absolutely. You've got to be informed. And we've spoken quite a lot over the last couple of days about that, because obviously the... I said that I, you know, I did deer stalking, and therefore, it, in essence, kill animals,
and murder animals, and I will never agree with murdering creatures.
That's it.
Even if I can understand,
where
your stance
because
on it.
We recorded an episode, or are recording an episode with Jose, who's a guy that I know from the deer stalking world, and you know, I said, you know, we did that episode as education, because like you say, we live in
it's
this ignorance
to me.
We live in this bubble of bliss and ignorance, which can protect us from shit, but it also stops us from understanding a subject fully. And I think the hunting and stuff like that, like I said, you know, I'm bang into conservation, you know, from the sea shepherd stuff, you know, because I'm really keen into marine life. And,
yeah, they do.
You know, but then
impressive job
in terms of our own countryside. You know, for me, the conservation.
Poor hedgehogs. What's going on the hedgehogs? I reckon they're going to be extinct soon. All this building and people fencing off their gardens.
I don't think I've ever seen a hedgehog.
Oh,
it's
probably
sad,
dead,
isn't it?
Squished on the road. We used to
have I've seen them
garden,
squished on the road plenty of times, but I've not seen them ever in my garden.
We have dogs and cats and other creatures. You sort of have to block out the wildlife.
Yeah.
And then you get these naughty ones, and they sort of, you know, build over the wildlife tunnels and the alleys and that. It's... You know, but it's not like America, where their wildlife is wolves and cats and how they treat them.
There you go.
I couldn't imagine living in America. Oh my gosh, I'd be a right activist. If I was in London, I'd be out on more rallies as well, without a doubt. It's very political up there, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's time consuming, isn't it, trying to change the world?
All on your own, Sam. All on your own.
No, I've got all these dogs that need me.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Well. That's it. So, all right. So, we'll get onto the dogs because then, yeah, that's something that we've been out on lots of dog walks the last couple of days and sharing all of the dogs that you've tried to rehome. So we'll talk about that in a sec because that's part of the travel bit. I want to go into the travel and what instigated the change. So you cool. said that your stepmum had passed away suddenly and so young.
Yeah.
After that, what was the next steps then? You went into a YMCA, but still dolled up like Betty Boop and, you know...
And become sort of more humble in my approach because I'm working with people that, for the most part, are on benefits or low income. I was fortunate enough to still be able to live at home. So my income, although I had outgoings, run a car, you know, I had animals and insurances and all these sensible responsibilities we have. And then sort of a few years into that job, I went into another homeless charity and... you know, I was a manager there, and then I started to become really discomplacent and discontent, and it was a drain, you know, working with people who seem to have a lot of opportunities afforded to them, but unfortunately are so repressed by society. They've got no aspirations in life, even to get a driving licence or a passport, just to get out of the town, you know, out of these Essex little towns. Some people don't leave, thinking there's more to it than this. And one of my friends, she'd been travelling to South America, and I was torn between South America and India. My dad made me flip a coin, and I think it first come back as South America, so I made him do it again, and we do the best of three.
Oh, so if you're going to do that, you know that well, I always say that if you've got to flip a coin, the minute you flipped it, you know where you want to go, or you know what you want the outcome to be. So, you know, you don't even need to look at the result. You have to, you know. Oh, and clearly, okay. If it had landed India first time, you'd have gone, right, I'll go to India.
That's your intuition, though.
How
so
do you mean?
You're feeling like that's a different sense that we've got that we don't often get to pull on because we don't hear it. Because there's a lot of chatter, a lot of ego stuff going on and survival in the world. So, yeah, but I didn't have that. I was very torn because I had to book a flight, you know. The flights were going up. I'd had my noticing at work. Didn't know where I was going, but knew I had a goal that I wanted to go travelling.
So it was just based on walking from one life and seeing sort of how other people live at the YMCA and then talking to a friend that had been to South America and sitting there and saying, what's it all about?
Yeah, my brother had gone into prison and that had a big effect on the whole family.
And when did that happen? Was that...
He's been in prison for about 3 years now, so that would have happened about 4 years ago.
Right.
Because it dragged on through the courts for the best part of a year.
And we spoke about this on a dog walk, and you know, you said what he was in for.
Well, the actual charge was GBH with intent.
Right.
Which is one below manslaughter, I believe, or murder. Murder. GBH of intent, but the joint enterprise aspect is
which
I've
never heard of. Which is something that there was a bit like, okay.
Co-defendants are all charged with the same offence, regardless of what they may or may not have done. So there was a particularly bad fight, and there was injuries sustained. And although my brother didn't inflict those injuries because he was there, he was also charged with the same offence. So often the bank robber, you know, you've got a getaway driver outside waiting for the geezers to come out. The bloke's inside the bank, it gets a bit heavy, someone's shot and killed. You know, they're all charged for murder, even the guy in the car outside. So so there is a big rally group going on because it's a lot of young males, actually. It's more of a gang culture thing.
They get caught up in something that
it's a blanket charge to make it easy for the so-called justice system, you know. So that was a big thing, and you know, at the end of the day,
that's a lot going on, isn't it?
Yeah,
going from the world of working promotions and in bars and dressing and thinking this is what life is because this is my South End bubble, and then going to work for the YMCA and seeing my bubble isn't what life is. There is other people with other things going on.
and it was that exposure, yeah, because thinking about it geographically, it was in Romford, which is basically London.
It's not far, but there can be a huge step.
It is ginormous. But, you know, I started getting into my yoga, my meditation, and seeing nice results and really quite revealing. It was just amazing. It was magic, really.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Really, and I feel like there's got to be a bit more to life than concrete and cars. You know, I definitely appreciate more trees and animals.
Sure.
So off on a little hunt I went for that on myself.
So, and that was straight from here to India?
Yeah, New
with
Delhi.
With the vision of being there for...
12 months. I got a 12-month visa. I was going to be there. Even though I'd researched, you know, being a lone female, white female at that, going into India, there was a lot of concerns from people, you know. I can't believe that some people wouldn't even entertain going on holiday or travelling by themselves.
Yeah.
And I do understand we have our comfort zones, but that's what I wanted to smash through. I didn't want to be comfortable. I'm comfortable. I can earn an income. I've got a roof over my head. I've got clothes. I've got food. I'm very thankful for these things, but it doesn't mean that I want to stay comfortable.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot more people who need help out there, and I think we're very privileged and we should try and help others if we can. Whether that's environmental, you know, you want to save the trees, or you want to help, you know, women living on the streets with their kids, or you want to save, you know, three-legged dogs from Bulgaria, like, each to their own. There is, the world needs more healing, you know, not more money. And
absolutely agree with that.
More businesses popping up.
So what was it like then, touching down in was it, you say, New Delhi?
New Delhi, yeah.
What was that like then? I've never been to India,
poor
so
traders,
I can only imagine.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, yeah, I think there'd been that particularly bad gang rape that had been on the news.
Yeah.
That the woman, she was out with a male friend on the bus.
Yeah, it was in a bus,
Yeah, it's really bad injuries. She died from her injuries. They'd used a metal pole. But they'd said they were from the slums. They were uneducated. They didn't know any better. So they did make arrests. But, I mean, I find with a lot of these in Thailand, America, like, I feel like they scapegoat quite quickly on because tourism is very important for them, obviously. And you know, our police force and our investigations, our forensics is sort of top notch compared to other developing third world countries. I'm not sure what the politically correct terminology is. I got pulled up for saying developing. I was like, well, what?
I've got two images of India. I've got a grotty slum, stinking, horrible cesspool of a country, and the other image is an absolute colourful, beautiful, amazing thing where there's great education, that they produce fantastic doctors and scientists. They've got
it's both ends of the spectrum,
absolutely, and almost nothing in between. Almost nothing in between. Yeah, I've known people from India that have come over here and almost had sort of nothing, didn't necessarily live in the slums, but then I've known people that have come over and, you know, they've come from huge education where dad's a plastic surgeon and, you know, they've lived a really privileged life.
Very privileged life.
Servants in their home and
and just completely different ends of the spectrum. And then, you know, with the, like I said, with the colour and the religion out there, everything seems really beautiful and crazy. So it's definitely somewhere I'd like to go. My missus isn't massively keen on the idea because I think she sort of sees more of the former description and doesn't kind of want to go and see all that and get involved with all of that. I've just started turning her on to Indian food as well, actually.
Spices, without a doubt. Who doesn't love an Indian? Even though obviously we've got the takeaways, which is the English version. I mean, it's still good food. There's no denying that. South Indian and Sri Lankan food is. I didn't get down to South or Sri Lankan, but I had tastes of it, and you know, different places I've been catered. But yeah, it's beautiful. And the food was good, obviously, and they're predominantly vegetarian. They use a lot of dairy because of the sacred cows.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, no one actually tends to question why there's loads of so-called sacred cows wandering around. It is unsustainable dairy industry. That's why there's lots of injured cows wandering around, usually bulls, because the males aren't of any use.
Yeah.
So, you know, the females, they're... they're kept, you know, they give milk and they give young. So it doesn't mean they're treated any better. Like I say, there's a lot of injuries, a lot of bulls with... It's sad, really? You know, because it's not like you've got an RSPCA or... When I first got into India, you know, I'm seeing all these injured dogs and cows, and I found there was a really handy network, Facebook page, because you can't just pick up the phone and expect someone's going to come and help this like cow that's got its like, or its ball with its horn hanging off, or you know, you've got a dog with a massive gash in its side or a broken leg, or you know, are just
because you want to change the world or change an aspect of it doesn't mean you can pick up the phone and instantly speak to someone that's going to help you do that.
So I did manage to speak to a few vets. There was a few, you know, people who popped up and helped. And but sadly, I did see, you know, it was the equality, you know, there's a hierarchy with the animals and the quality of life, because it is, you know, very religious, they don't tend to euthanize. And, right. You know, that is a decision I have made and will continue to make if it's in the best interest of an animal. But sadly, you know, they make a blanket decision that, you know, it's not your choice.
Let nature
to
take its course, even if it is not a nice course.
Mm. And I appreciate that, of course. No, I respect that. But when you've got, you know, really ill, you know, smelly, you know, wounds, and it's just quality of life, isn't it? We want a quality of life, which is a big debate, isn't it, always, about people going off so they
can be
euthanized. So why do we not afford that to animals more worldly? But yeah, I mean, that was one of the highlights and lowlights. I managed to save a disabled puppy from a recovery shed. It's more of a shack with all these cows in. Both of her legs were broken from being hit by a car. She was just this tiny little puppy, about this big, in the shed, and it was so depressing.
She just held up her hands about a foot long.
For the record. So little needle teeth, you know, brand new, and there's probably about 20 cows in this, and I thought she was covered in like mud and excrement, but it was actually ticks. So I think I took in excess of 50 ticks off of this little girl, bless her. But it turned out she had a really restricted bladder and bowel, you know, she couldn't walk properly. She started to get sores and very sadly sort of managed to get her to an animal sanctuary.
How did you come across her? I mean, you get off a plane, New Delhi Airport, with, you know, the fake eyelashes and the South End bubble.
Well, the eyelashes were long gone. I had some crystals on me by this stage.
Oh, you had... Okay,
I was upgraded.
So it wasn't that India made that change. It probably cemented it then. You'd already started transitioning from Betty Boop to a hippie.
Probably the hair, wasn't it? Because the dreads got done about 2 years ago. And I met a girl I hadn't seen for a while. And she was like, oh my God, that's what's missing. The dreads, it's what's been missing all this time. And I was like, oh, what? And she's like, you're a hippie. I was like, and I remember holding on to this teepee tent and the pole just for stability. I was like, And because I was labelled, I'd been labelled as a hippie, and I'd never realised. As much as I sort of started to cut meat out of my diet, then I was like, oh God, I've sort of
And you said
like
about
dairy.
Crystals, like healing crystals.
Well, they're
like,
pretty anyway.
I'm going to rub no amethyst denying. On my body.
Whatever does it for you, Mike.
Yeah, but I don't get it at all. They're rocks. Yes, they're pretty. Yes, you can have them.
It's amazing. They're just to look at
yeah,
them.
Yeah, absolutely. From a Beautiful, scientific point
from
of view,
the earth.
From a scientific point of view, I think, yeah, I love all of the science in geology, and I don't see how it's going to heal you or
Different
why you can get into rocks other than to study. I don't know. Like I spoke with a guy who's a geologist,
mm-hmm.
And he's into rocks, both the pretty ones that for the formations of crystals and
yeah.
how amazing that is. I've been in plenty of caves. I love going in caves all around
yeah.
the place and seeing all of that, and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I take away a real good understanding of the science of geology and natural geography.
Yes,
I don't take away anything that this can. Cure hair loss or this can help my sore toe or whatever other thing. I mean tell me how that works. Tell me how it works.
Intention.
Tell me why you will carry crystals around and what the energy properties or whatever. I don't know. I'm guessing now because I don't know anything about.
Well, you spoke about your intuition, you know, flipping that coin. You know, that's a different sense that you
well, no,
would
I,
use.
Well, no, I said that.
You
labelled it as intuition. I just think it's something that Yeah, I think
what is
kind
yourself
of,
telling you though? That's not your brain because you wasn't able to make that logical decision. You had to.
I
call
think
us
yeah, because we kind of kid ourselves, don't we? We kid sometimes. We will say, "Oh, I don't know," and probably deep down, yeah, you do know. You just haven't really worked it out. And when it
mm-hmm.
comes to the point where you could potentially lose the option that you actually most want, that's when it pulls out of us the.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what you do want. You know, do I want to go to South America or India? Oh, I don't know, because they've both got so many pros and cons each. And,
we
and
did
they
scribe,
both,
actually,
they both
with a crystal,
would be
yeah.
fantastic.
No, they are. They're very colourful, and they do bring different energies as in different properties, so different strengths. Or, you know, we all go through different cycles in our life. You know, we go up and down. We're not always happy. We're not always sad.
True.
So sometimes you might feel like you need to be, you know, make more concise decisions, or maybe you've got a big project coming up and you need a bit more stamina, you know, so you can sort of call on these energies to top you up with what you're needing. And
what's your understanding or belief of how that works then? Educate the uninformed, i.e. me and anybody listening thinking my way.
Pessimistic, so
yeah but I'm happy. There's so like I've said before to you, to friends, family, I don't know all the answers, and no one does, you know.
No,
I'm definitely
a
man of science. I had a really great conversation with someone a couple of weeks ago about religion, because she's very much a science based person,
mm-hmm.
but also quite, you know, has faith.
Mm,
and she wasn't raised that way. She her parents are both atheists, and her father's from India,
yeah.
and had been kind of raised in a very Hindu way, I believe. Her mum was Irish Catholic, so was raised in that way. And then as adults, before she was born, they both decided, okay, that's great, and that's there, but we're not going to follow that or subscribe
yeah.
to that, and didn't raise her in that way. And now she's grown up and decided. To follow a Christian way of life.
Christianity.
And we was
okay.
kind of speaking, and I was like, do you know what? I kind of think I don't believe in any of that. I don't believe in a book, in a God, in any of that. But because I believe more in science and what
they're merging
facts are
now.
And
they're
what
merging.
We can prove. All right, okay. But there's a lot in science that we haven't got answers for. Like, you know, dark space and dark energies and dark, you know, oh, we know
Do
it's
we
there.
Do we need all the answers?
We know it's
though,
there, but
do we?
No, maybe. some of the things that we've found answers to that people said we don't need the answer to that has proved really beneficial to
of
us,
course,
I suppose.
Yeah.
So I think having answers to anything can only be a good thing, even if it just remains as a we can answer that. Often it leads to actually using that information and using that answer, that knowledge, to further progress human civilization or medicine or whatever it is. And that's what I love about science. But yeah, I'm very aware that there's lots of things that probably still won't be explained in my lifetime.
Biocommunication, I read a Dr. Wayne Dyer book, and it's if you take a blood sample, so that's sitting over there, the other side of the room, you're sitting there, you inflict a little bit of pain on the subject, so you're just giving a pinprick, and it actually changes the structure of the blood sample. Biocommunication. That in itself is just phenomenal, surely not. Or even the fact that a seed can sprout into a massive, beautiful tree. That is amazing. There's science, but isn't there magic?
So I've not heard of this biocommunication thing. I can't comment on that because I have no information.
I mean, all sources, you never know, do you, where they're quoting from.
A seed growing into a tree.
Come on.
Yeah, that's great.
It's
that's
scientific.
Science. That's nothing to do with crystals.
Is it not
and
magic
stuff?
Still, though, in its essence? How can you just... Well, only just a child, and they're just
I think it's magical. I think it's miraculous. I don't think it's a miracle, and I don't think it's magic. I think it's science. I sort of, yeah, because we can we understand why. We don't understand why about some of the things in the universe. We have ideas and theories, and quite often, a lot of them, we can't test those theories. So until we have the technology,
disbelieve though until we can prove. Why not just embrace?
I don't actually. I try and keep an open mind, Sammy. Yeah. I try and say I'm open minded, but even with that, there is a line as to you know, how open minded I'm gonna be, and I try and set that as far away as I can before I feel that this is just ridiculous now, and sort of a crystal telling me the answer to what I should do in my day or healing me in any way. I don't understand that, and that's why I'm saying, you know, how to the best of you know, and you're gonna know far more about it than I am. Try and convince me. Try and tell me.
I just dabble. They aesthetically, just looking at them is enough for me. Okay. So to be able to make, you know, a mandela, and just to draw on some of the sacred energy that is around that's lost, and you know, which India introduced to me, I thought, and it has. It gives clarification, it gives direction. You know, saying your friend who follows Christianity now, or anyone who follows any kind of, you know, religion, or people who pay their bills and like to pay council tax and have these rules and regulations, it offers us, you know, a bit of safety, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely where I've said I don't believe in Christianity or any religion. I do love learning about the stories. I do love the art that comes out of religion. Yeah. I do love the architecture that comes out of religion. So there's definitely bits that I take from it that I quite like. I do sense a feeling of peace and calm when I walk into a church. You know, Vanessa's from Spain, and you know, we'll go and stand in. They have loads of churches over there, and so, same as we have here. But I mean, I do
places,
feel that.
Yeah.
There's a sense of peace and calming in there, but that's because the air is very still. There's not a lot of noise,
I think
that's atmosphere and science telling me that this is a calm place. Rather than any, I have no spiritual feeling when I walk into these buildings. But I appreciate them for what they are.
Don't you get that tranquility coming home to a quiet house though? It's calm, the air is still.
Different.
Yeah. Same difference.
I feel quite calm and nice when my house is nice and clean and tidy, which is hardly ever. But yeah, I feel kind of nice in my house sometimes. But yeah, in a big church, I kind of feel a bit better.
You're walking into a place like a sacred area as well.
Yeah,
so you have that respect there, presumably.
I've felt like that in art galleries. I've been in an art gallery and
they're
very quiet and still and calming, yeah. And often you're surrounded by works of art that are there by design to make you question emotions and to incite emotion.
Go a bit deeper into yourself and understanding.
That's not religious to me. That's just
reflecting
the science of
yourself.
Starting to. I'm supposed to ask you questions.
Well, what do we reflect on if it's not to deepen our knowledge of ourselves and the world? Why do we want all of this knowledge? Do we want to do good with it? Like, if it's only coming
hopefully
from a
for
good
the most
place.
Part, obviously, a lot of the time, not always, but you know, that's another story. But I think my point is, I'm sort of, if religion or faith of any kind, spirituality, a journey, a discovery, whatever.
So you're an atheist, then.
I hate labels of any kind.
Yeah.
I'm someone that I'm open-minded. That if you show me a jar of God, I'll
jar of God. Yeah. Here you go.
If you show me a jar of God, I will go excellent. If you show me that a crystal can heal a condition that I have or change my mood, other than just maybe being a placebo or something, then I'm open-minded enough to get on board with it.
Could
I'm
be
not
all of those things.
So and I think it's a great thing that we have in the world, that we have people that can take something from that. And I just think, even if I don't believe in it, it's still doing good, you know, like religion, Christianity, Hinduism, whatever it may be.
I'd class myself as Hindu or Buddhist. I'd be a cross, I think. And that's what it's about, aren't we? We're all our own gods, aren't
we? Yeah, I mean, we're all right to... We're allowed to take from anything.
Absolutely.
Whatever we need to get through a day and to make ourselves feel better, I suppose. And that's that can only be a wonderful thing. But doesn't mean I can sort of subscribe to the ideas and stuff
like
that.
Well, I
like
the teachings. I like the idea of karma.
Yeah.
I mean, that was massively insightful in India. I think most of us know about karma, don't we? You know, usually when something bad happens...
I mean,
happens,
my understanding is, sort of almost, you know, do unto others as you'd do unto yourself,
absolutely.
Or whatever it is. And basically, if you don't, karma's going to get you. You know, so if you don't treat people nice, you're not going to be nicely treated. If you don't do something good, then nothing good is going to happen to you. That's my
law
basic...
Law of attraction,
Which, I think to it, I'd probably explain it in a scientific way, the law of attraction. And I've seen lots of stuff on law of attraction and find that quite interesting, because I think, you know, being in business as I have been, you sort of try and model yourselves on people that you admire. You try and model their behaviour. I just think that means then... I don't think it automatically means thinking good thoughts or putting out into the universe nothing but positivity. Mm-hmm. I don't think that means that because you do that, something positive or amazing is going to come to you. I think it means because you're in a positive frame of mind, you're more likely to recognize something positive that's going to happen.
And not be negative about a situation.
I sort of think that... And again, that's probably the science and power of the mind, rather than following a religious teaching, a crystal, a book.
This is what Dr. Wayne Dwyer was talking about in the biocommunication book, actually.
Yeah, okay.
That was
I'm definitely going to... I'll put a link up to that for anyone that wants further reading, and I'm certainly going to have a look at it. I don't want to talk about it too much, because...
No.
Unless you want to talk about what that's all about... I can't comment on it because I've never heard of it. I heard something really amazing a couple of weeks ago that we can record sound off of like vibrating objects.
Wow.
So,
okay,
this is proven. It's nothing to do with really what we were talking about, but it's an amazing, amazing
vibrations,
science.
Vibrations, it's all up there with the energy and the crystals, man. Don't get it twisted.
Now. So right now, as we're speaking, you know, we're just sitting in my sort of living, dining area, and we're speaking.
And obviously people are hearing this because they're hearing what I'm saying into a microphone, what you're saying into a microphone. Imagine if we was in a soundproof room.
Yeah.
Okay. And someone was on the outside of that soundproof room and they couldn't see our lips moving, so it's not lip reading. But they had a video camera looking through the glass and they are filming what we're doing.
Yeah.
They could get, and this isn't could in theory, this is they could analyze the vibrations off of this teacup, off of any of the kind of inanimate objects in this room, and they would be able to process those vibrations and actually work out what we're saying.
Yeah.
So think about all of the silent movies that before they were able to record, process and add the sound to a movie, they could rerun these things and they would be able to look at
that's amazing.
What the actors might have been saying, what was the sounds were in the background, and they'd be able to say, right, okay, we're going to read the vibrations and sound reverberations off of that table, and they could hear what was actually going on then. So I think that's kind of I think they did it with they played like a nursery rhyme, like maybe Three Blind Mice or Bar Bar Black Sheep or something like that, and they played it next to say like a vase, and they played that in a soundproof room. And they were recording it through the glass on the outside. And then they played back by putting in the vibrations into a computer, I guess. Yeah. And they were able to... And it sounded a bit distorted. You know, it wasn't crystal clear, but it was clearly Bar Bar Black Sheep or whatever they were doing.
Are you allowed to say that nowadays? What? I thought it was Bar Bar Multicoloured Sheep. Honestly, this is our guitar.
I've heard that. I don't know how much of that is you are or are not allowed, or whether it's whether that's just people hyping up things and saying like.
You're not allowed to say Eskimo either, I don't think.
I don't know.
It's Inuit.
Right. Okay.
I heard we're not allowed to say Eskimos at school anymore.
Okay.
No, it's funny, isn't it?
I don't know.
Times change.
Awesome. So. India weren't the only place that you that you went to, but you probably found quite a lot of spiritual enlightenment and stuff like that. And you say you worked a lot with dogs. Where did you go after India? So was you there the 12 months?
No, I was there for about 3 months. It was quite as much as it was enlightening, it was also very heavy as well. Revelation after revelation, you know, tearing back these strips of knowing yourself and the world.
Sure, yeah.
No, I went on a festival hump because I started to go a bit cold turkey with the prospect of not going to a festival for the summer, so we went over to Europe. Was there for a couple of months, sort of Spain, Portugal, Croatia, Bosnia, which was
See, Bosnia is an interesting one. You say Spain, Portugal, Bosnia.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's sort of, that's a little bit of a
Eastern Europe. Yeah, isn't it? I would like to discover.
If you'd have
more.
Said Spain, Portugal,
we've all
France,
been on holiday there,
Italy,
haven't we? Yeah.
But then to go Bosnia, what made you book that ticket?
My mum she's actually got 5 dogs, all from Eastern Europe. One of them, Millie, she's from Bosnia. And my mum had said before about this lovely lady, Milena, who's just this single lady living in a one-bedroom flat who's got about 300 dogs split between 2 kennels. And I just wanted to go and help. And, you know, just knowing the diabolical things that happen to the street animals in Eastern Europe, you know, next to China where they eat them. You know, Eastern Europe is torturing them and doing almighty hideous things. I went and stayed over there with her, and I met sharing a room with 7 puppies. I think there was about another 8 or 9 dogs in the flat. Had 2 kennels with about 150 dogs in each.
Wow.
So they have kill shelters dotted around, and the dogs are sort of just left to starve, basically. And they have kill points around, so they round them all up, and most of the time they'll either do a mass poisoning or they set them on fire. It's just, or they hit them over their heads.
That sounds barbaric.
It's really, but this is, you know, these are countries who have only had wars like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And there's still evidence, you know, of the bombings and the damage around. So I understand, you know, human life hasn't been, you know, sacred. So why would people, you know, the animal abuse. I think is an outlet, is a vent, is my understanding on the situation.
Kick the cat syndrome, I think they call it.
Yeah.
And when you come home after a bad day's work, you kick the cat.
Yeah. Yeah, the old dog, you know, loyal, faithful, man's best friend's always going to love you no matter what, you know. And yeah, there's some beautiful babies out there that need our help, and unfortunately, you know, they're not, you know, sterilising any of the street animals, so they're just still breeding. It's still an issue. It does stem down to money as well. Often, you know, they are actually given a certain amount of money per dog to euthanize in the same way we would, but that doesn't happen. You know, they're either injected with bleach, they're shot, you know, impregnated with diesel.
Oh, that turned my stomach.
All sorts of things. Yeah, it's really not, you know, so they don't eat them.
So that's to cut a cost. So they're given money to euthanize humanely.
So they don't buy the proper medication.
Rather than buying it and spending that money, they'll pocket that and use bleach instead.
Well, they set them on fire or bash them over the head with sticks or tie them to the back of cars. But, you know, we don't have to dwell on the bad things. Let's try and help, you know, alleviate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, shying away from these uncomfortable things that happen is not going to help, you know,
no,
the solution.
No, I've always said, my mum taught me, you know, to not watch it, to not listen to it. It's the same as denying it doesn't happen. I think things like that need to be...
We need to bear witness to some things.
Absolutely. Yeah. They need to be talked about and
absolutely.
And I wouldn't have known any of this until when we got back in touch a few weeks ago to do this podcast, because I heard that you were back in the UK and I wanted to talk to you about that. And I met two lovely dogs, Bear and Annie, and they were from Bosnia. You'd brought them over and rescued them, you know.
Beautiful.
And that's
dogs.
Great, because they obviously, you know, all right, it's two out of hundreds of dogs, you know. But the difference is that, you know, you spoke to me about it and I was like, oh, wow, you know, that's something that I'm now aware of that I just completely wasn't, that could have been their fate, being injected with bleach if they were just determined as no good. And I mean, I didn't meet Annie because you really, you know, really luckily you was able to find her a forever home before I got to meet her. But Bear, I've been out a couple of times with him, was just lovely, wasn't he? He was just the loveliest dog.
It was lovely. Yeah, no, that was one of the highlights of travels, the working and getting to see, you know. And it was an end, actually, because after India, you know, getting able to see the Dalai Lama and the rat temple, and then going over and working with this animal charity over there, it was just, like, mind-blowing. And then I went over to California after there and was working in the cannabis industry.
So going back, and we'll talk about that, I mean, have you got anywhere to be?
Not necessarily. I was going to go for an Indian.
You want to roll in? Because we're coming up to an hour.
Okay.
And you just, I want to speak about the Dalai Lama and the travel. But yeah,
we could do another ep
with all about the cannabis industry, because that's a big subject in itself, which would be cool if you want to hang about.
Yeah, I don't mind.
So, Dalai Lama, that was cool to meet him, right?
To get to see him and listen to his teachings, in his temple, and to live. That's where I was, 7 weeks I was in Dharamsala, where, the Tibet's they split, actually. The religious leader of the country, where he lives in exile there. They do have their political team. They all live there. You know, they can't go back to Tibet, unfortunately, because it's under Chinese ruling now. And I mean, that really angered me. You know, I didn't even know you could go and see the Dalai Lama. He was just a meme that popped up on Facebook. I didn't know it. I thought, wow.
So what were the teachings?
Well, it's over 3 days. You have to register. I actually missed the first day because I was with a street dog trying to find her an x-ray and to get her to an animal place, bless her. He spoke a lot just about how we should raise, you know, our children to be good people. And it really is very much about, you know, merging science and religion. You know, their religion is in just being a compassionate, kind, wise person. That's them in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And I did realise learning about karma on a little bit more of a deeper level was really profound for me. Because, you know, we, oh, yeah, something bad, oh, karma will get them, karma will get them. Very rarely do we question why maybe something bad has happened to ourselves, you know, because maybe we have done something that we deserve to be punished or recognised, or just to learn about our karmic cycle and the lessons that we need. So he spoke a lot about, you know, making sure that you're kind and good, because in the next life, you know, you want to come back as a human and maybe not a cow or a dog. He did say he
So do you believe in that reincarnation and subscribe to the idea that we can come back?
I believe so. I can't believe that we just disappear. I believe we're too powerful. You know, we have a soul, we have a spirit in each of us. And for that just to be extinguished when this vessel expires, you know.
And do you see that for all animals? I mean, I've got no idea, but like...
I do see a bit more deep in animals, and I think that's why I'm so sympathetic.
So say a rabbit. Say if I went out to the pet shop today, or a shelter, if there's a shelter for
thank
rabbits.
No to breeding.
Adopt, don't shop, love it. Yeah, so if I did get a rabbit, you're saying that in essence that could have been a human in another life?
Potentially, who's to say? I believe
and when
people...
that rabbit dies, if it's been a good rabbit, it could go off and get back to human status, perhaps working its way through dog,
it might
lion,
like being an
rhino.
Animal. Who knows what lessons it's decided to bestow upon its life. You know, I do believe whatever we experience, we've chosen to. And, you know, when anything happens, no matter how hard or difficult or emotional it is, I feel like if you remove that emotion and seek the lesson, you know, it's going to be really profound for you. It's just how brave, you know, how deep we do want to delve into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to surprise you at all. I don't subscribe to the whole reincarnation thing. But I am open-minded, as I said before, because I do obviously understand in science that everything is just a transfer of energy.
Yeah.
So, you know, energy can't, you know, every bit of energy that we have has already been created. It's there, big bang, boom, energy's there. Everything else is just a transfer of energy. So we take it from one place, and when we die, that energy goes somewhere else. So I think the reincarnation thing, you could probably say, is maybe a follow-on from that. I think it's a reach, but I'm happy to...
There's lots of grey areas, though. There's lots of unknown things.
Exactly,
no,
the same as in science.
Able to,
yeah, absolutely.
That's what makes it so intriguing and beautiful, doesn't it? If we knew everything... Wouldn't it be all very boring?
Absolutely, yeah, it would.
There's no mystery there. It's all about learning. And so the profound for me with the karma and really understanding and appreciating it, and not just, you know, looking at memes or, you know, liking a few statuses.
Yeah. Doing it because you really believe it rather than just it's
living
a culture
it.
To follow on, yeah.
I actually spoke briefly about when we first met and I'd come out of a really abusive relationship.
Yeah.
And part of the reason I'd had to experience that relationship was I was actually I was seeking a revenge for something that had happened for me as a younger person. So I was actually raped when I was 15, and this guy that I ended up in a relationship with in my early 20s was a criminal, and he did know people that, you know, would hurt people. And subconsciously, I engaged in this relationship and put up with this sort of abuse because he'd made a promise earlier on when, you know, sort of 5-6 years before that he would... you know, have this person hurt, you know.
Yeah.
And it was like I was holding on to that. I was holding on to that, this anger and resentment.
From when you were raped at 15.
Yeah. You know, I wanted, even though I'd worked on forgiveness, I'd never really understood, you know, I don't want to have to say, I forgive you. That's okay that you done wrong. You know, regardless that you may have gone to prison, that doesn't make, you know... the impact that then had on to my life, and possibly part of the reason why I ended up going down cosmetic surgery, you know, having my boobs, having my lips done, because I wasn't liking my body as it was. It wasn't until I was in India and I was, oh my gosh, like the one of the worst times in my life I've experienced in a relationship was because I wanted revenge for the other bad thing that happened in my life. So for seeking badness to happen, I was having badness happen to me. And it was like, wow, that's a really, you know, it was to accept some responsibility for the pain that I was in, because I'd been put in pain previously. And it was... I went to a shaman and had we ended up having some hypnotherapy, actually. And it was then that I realised, yeah, no, I really have got body dysmorphia because of this. And I've been having, you know, surgery, which is so just far connected from being all natural, which is really, I don't want no cosmetics, I don't even want no makeup anymore. I just want an easy life. I'm not quite happy with the body hair, but... it's how do we embrace ourselves naturally when we're bombarded with all these other things that tell us, you know, you're going to be more cleaner if you haven't got hair, you know, you're going to look more attractive. So yeah, I'll come off a point a little bit there, because it's quite a big thing, it's all
connected, and it's part of your story as well, because I had no idea that you'd suffered abuse and
no, you wouldn't necessarily.
Being raped
at
15 and then being in that abusive relationship. And I think if you take something positive from your experiences and learning more about yourself, whether it's a religious journey, a spiritual journey, or just understanding yourself better, then all of that, no matter whether I believe in all of it, some of it, or none of it, all of that is still a really good thing, because I certainly think you're a nicer, better person. Not to say that you wasn't when we first met.
You're a better person now.
But you seem genuinely happier. You seem genuinely happier. And I've really enjoyed talking with you today on this, but also, you know, the last couple of days going out and dog walking,
lots of things just because
absolutely. And I think it's really nice to say, actually, you seem a little bit more, or a lot more, educated and worldly wise because of those journeys. And like you say, you can talk about crystals all day long and I can take the piss out of it all day long because I don't believe in it, but I do think that it has had a positive effect, whether I believe in it behind it. It has had a positive effect on you, just because you believe it and you're more positive as a result of that. And I think the karma thing is a really interesting one, because I can look at you being raped at 15 and say that was one terrible incident. I can then look at it and say that a separate incident is that you had this want for revenge, and I can relate to that. You know, when someone does something bad to you, you want to sort of get them back, and I can relate to that. But then I think it's also a separate event to say that then you had a relationship with someone that was also abusive, and I can look at all three of those things as separate things.
Yes, yeah.
But the fact that you look at them as they could possibly be linked, that I ended
our
up in that
lessons.
because of this karma thing, then actually, although I don't say, or although I can't say that they're not linked, I would sit here and say, nah, they're not linked. You know, you can find coincidence, I think, in almost anything, and you can find karma in almost anything.
Absolutely.
I think because of the way that we view things, if we believe in them, can make us better people. And actually, I think that's what the world needs a little bit of, is people having understanding and being free to say, this is what I believe in, without persecution. And I believe that actually, especially in the you know, like you say, these Hindu and Buddhist practices, especially the Buddhism and the spirituality, actually, it's sort of, there's no room for harm or negativity. And actually, people like you that walk around, I always feel happy when I read something that you've written on Facebook. I always feel happy after I've met you. Now, I don't believe in almost anything that you believe in, but I do believe in the, actually, being nice to someone can pass on
feelings of being
exchange
nice.
Exchange of energy. Yeah.
And absolutely, like after we've walked the dogs, I go, oh, it was really nice to see Sammy. and because she's quite upbeat and happy, I've kind of left feeling a bit upbeat and happy.
Yeah.
And I think that's only a good thing, really, whether it's...
Absolutely. Exchanging ideas, isn't it? Conversing yeah. and appreciating people's individuality and differences.
Yeah.
This, again, it would be a very boring place if we was all the same. As much as it can make us irate, you know, especially politics is a really emotive thing, isn't it? If people, there's divisions on that. When I was in America... Even the stand-up comedy, you know, you sometimes they can't even go into politics because they have to gauge the crowd.
Oh, it's
because
different it was world, the Trump man. Different thing, world, yeah.
It was like, gosh, yeah, that was. I got up and done stand-up comedy. That was a pretty big bucket list thing.
Really?
I know. Can you believe it? Like,
I can actually. I can. That's really awesome.
Good for the confidence. I couldn't recall anything. I was just basically taking the piss out of American men and the whole dating scene out there because, I mean, it's bigger and bolder and brighter in America, that's for sure. It's, I mean, I don't think I've
everything's
been,
bigger and brighter and bolder in America. And I think I love America because of that, but I also really don't like America because of that. I think America is a huge, huge place. And there's different areas, different states have got different people.
I love and hate all of that,
you know. And the guy that edits this podcast, he's from America, he's from Arkansas. And that's like a state that no one knows anything about, really. We know California, we know New York, we know Florida, and maybe Texas and cowboy country, and then we know and then we know maybe Alaska.
They
and,
do all
and
coasts,
stuff
don't
like
they?
That.
East
yeah.
coast, west
yeah,
coast.
Yeah, so you know, there's so much that is a bit like crazy, like
yeah, they've got
we don't
all
know
sorts
too
in
much
there.
About, but yeah, they there's all sorts of different people, and that's. Wonderful.
Biggest culture shock for me, America.
Really? Versus India and Bosnia?
Bosnia, Thailand, yeah, really smashed it to pieces, you know. It was... what I put it down to was that there's so much more land space, so the vastness, there's just more room for eccentricity and craziness.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when you're talking about isolated towns, and if they've got, you know, a religious aspect, you know, I met... lots of young people had been affected by, you know, parents being devout, those Catholics, Mormons. So that was, you know, it's because there's a lot of kids that living on the streets there, you know, they're run around in gangs and a lot of people live in their trucks, very different to our converted vans here when people live in their vans. And the drug culture is a lot more different as well. They smoke a lot of meth and opiates, whereas here I feel we're much more sheltered. I feel like the class A drugs that, you know, the sort of heavier ones, you know, crack cocaine and heroin, you know, then you sort of know what you're doing when you get involved with that. Not too many people are doing that recreationally, but crystal meth and smoking heroin is a massive, big, more culture. And I just found, you know, I was reduced to tears, you know, because I just felt like I've been afforded this massive privilege, you know, because it was affecting the teeth as well, you know, the health. So you've got lots of young people with really bad decaying teeth and they... It was, but as much as there's more opportunity there's also as much repression. So it is exactly the same. The balance, the equilibrium is there. But when you're sort of, and I'm typically quite a Libra with my balance, it's like I can see it on both sides of the spectrum, you know.
Yeah.
And it was, it was a hard one. And there's a lot of young people who haven't got sound people around them, often not got their families around them. So everyone's watching their backs. But I suppose as well, you know, if you're having that lifestyle, then you're throwing, you know, there's a lot of money being branched around because of the cannabis industry. And, you know, more money, more drugs, it does sort of thrive on a bit more of a cautious edge, doesn't it? You know.
So... Because we've now gone back to the States and the drug cultures and the legalities over drugs like cannabis and stuff like that. And I know that you worked with cannabis. Let's end this one here. I'm just going to pause it, and then I know when to put in a break, and we can go on to talking about that, if that's okay. Cool with you. Yeah, cool. Awesome. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. What did you all think? I told you it was one of the ones that was more fun for me to record, in terms of it wasn't sort of serious and it was definitely not depressing. It wasn't sort of as serious and heartfelt as someone like Alla's podcast on episode one or Marcus's on episode three. It was just two people having a good old conversation and chat, which is what the podcast is all about. And I hope I kind of introduced you to a person that has some different views on the world and spirituality and the way things work from her point of view. Like I said, we don't agree on everything. I'm sort of not that kind of person that is very spiritual at all, really. But I do agree that there is more to life than concrete and cars, and hopefully that came across. Like I said in the introduction, next week's episode we recorded with the same person, Sammy, and she's just, again, she's brilliant, but we talk about something a little bit more serious, which was her rape, because obviously she brought it up in the podcast, and we didn't really go into it or you know, obviously it's a huge story, and I think it just didn't feel right to I wrote it down as she said it, and it was a bit of a surprise. I didn't know that had happened to her, and I didn't know how to approach that subject in the sort of context that we were talking about. So I sort of, after we finished recording, I sort of went away and thought, you know, we should address that. We should have a little chat about that and see if there's a story, and there was, and it was something quite interesting. I learned quite a bit about her situation. So if there's other people out there that have been in a similar situation, then, you know, it's worth a listen to. We also talk about her, you know, the drug trade, drugs in general, the law, and her experiences from that, as she's worked on cannabis farms and plantations out in California, which I don't think many people listening will have done. I certainly haven't. And it was really, really interesting to speak to someone that has had that experience and find out what that's all about. And yeah, just that's next week. So I really hope that you tune in. The easiest way is to go onto Apple Podcasts or Acast app, which I really like, because on Acast, as you're listening through the Acast app on your phone or something, then I put on links that scroll across your phone. So as we're talking about something, a link will flash up on your phone where you can go and get more information. So it's a little bit more interactive, gives you a little bit more content, and yeah, you can go on there and it's a great listening experience. Don't know what else to say, really. Let us know what you think. I'm on Twitter at that Mr. Christ. I'm online in Facebook and things like that. So Facebook, type in that Mr. Christopher, and I should come up. But there's links and everything like that on my website, thatmrchristopher.com. Send me an email. I've got loads and loads of potential people to bring to you, in terms of guests that have emailed me with their stories. And it's just, I'm in the middle of sorting out in what order I record people now, because I've blasted through a lot of the ones that I've pre-recorded, and I'm looking for new guests. So if you've got an interesting story or an interesting view on a topic that you've got some kind of authority to speak on or educate people with, then please get in touch, because I'd love to hear from you, and we'll see if we can meet up and have a conversation and introduce you to the world and my lovely listeners, of which they're growing. We had such an amazing
response. To our first show went out and we got over 500 listeners in the first 36 hours. And each week we're just growing on that, which for a new podcast has just been amazing and fantastic. So thank you so, so much to everybody that has listened. I couldn't have done it without the guests, but I also couldn't have done it without the team that have helped and supported me throughout. So big thank you to Rob, who edits the podcast, and to the guys that did the music, especially David Woodcock. His album is fantastic, and I listened to it and said, I need this guy to do a track for me. He's recording his second album and he took a break from that to say, yeah, I'll do you a track. So he wrote and did all the music on that, and we recorded it at Joe Lamb's London Road recording studio in Southend. We had a great time doing it, and we've been getting a lot of positive feedback on the track. So thanks very much for the help on that, guys. And yeah, just keep having a little download and keep meeting me each week for a conversation where I introduce you to new people. And I'll see you, or speak to you, next week. Bye-bye.